Today is Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is different from all the other Tanaisim. As you pointed out by the Rishonim, the Eshkol, and others point out, because Tisha B'Av, Asara B'Tevet, the Tzom Gedalia, Shabbat B'Tamuz, are Taneos that are for the purpose of observing Avelos over the Kuzan Beit HaMikdash. But the Tainus Esther is considered the Tainus Kol Simcha, because in the days of Esther, they fasted and their prayers were answered. So work, it's not in commemoration of any Avelos. So therefore what? So therefore Allah might be less significant to this, because there may not be at least four Nachmanim based on this. The Sefer who Eshkol himself, that the right is Alo Eshkol, that's the father-in-law of the famous rabbi. The rabbi of Allah told us on the Rambam, married his daughter. So the Alo Eshkol says that it's for this reason that it's permissible to fast on Erev Purim, because the Gemara says that all of the holidays that are mentioned in the Megillat Tainus are brought with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. And there is a dispute in posters and in office regarding this statement of the Gemara that with respect to Chanukah and Purim and Megillah Sinus is Lord Boswell. What about the name of the Achrayim? All the limitations that are mentioned in Megillah Sinus, not only is it forbidden to fast on the Yontif itself, it's even forbidden to fast on Erev that Yontif and the Sori that Yontif. So the Rishonim are bothered with Akasha, the Baal HaMor is Akasha and Megillah. Another Rishonim is Kachan, we fast Sinus as an Erev Purim. If Purim is not Boswell, so you should be forbidden to fast on Erev Purim. Many Rishonim say, no, a Purim Chanukah will be Boswell, but with name Lachrayim, word is Boswell. The fact that you're forbidden to fast today, just one day after the young person who gave a sign, it went down the drain the same way all the other young person who gave a sign went down the drain. At this point, it is not so that Purim was Purim Chanukah were maintained, even with respect to with Mayim or the Achrayim. So how come we have this institution of Tainus Esther? You say to Hoeskel and others answer, that it's only forbidden to have a Tainus on Erev Purim and Moshe Purim if it's a Tainus El Avelo. But if it's a Tainus El Simcha, then it's permissible, and this is a Tainus El Simcha.
What about the first one on
Erev Purim? Yeah, the Gemara says in the end of Tainus that these demons that you're not allowed to hear today before the day after, that's only on the Yom Tzayim the Rabbana. In order to day lots of Chizuk with the Zayim. But on the Yom Tzayim there is no such thing.
The
Rishon? Erev Purim? No. Pesach is a Dimon HaTorah that you're not permitted to fast. So you don't have to prohibit fasting on Erev Pesach to be Machad with Tivei Teres. Tivei Teres and Tichon Tivei. Tivei Teres and Tivei Teres. The Mordech Teres and Malchim on Erev Shabbat you can also fast. On Erev Shabbat you can only to the fast. Now Shabbat the fast for this way punish the Shabbat to give him one Erev, but 56 and there's no need to the fast on Erev. There may be another Nafkimina based on this. The Mishnah says in the last paragraph in Yomer that Tanim before Bar Mitzvah have to be trained, you have to be Mechanech and the Mitzvah, including the Mitzvah fasting and Yom Kippur. That depending on how healthy the child is, you encourage to see to it that the child should fast the full day a year or two before the Bar Mitzvah, and to fast part of the day a year or two before that year or two. Not before the age of 8. Even if the child is very strong, before the age of 8, you shouldn't encourage the child to fast even part of that. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that we respect to Tisha B'Av and Sarah B'Tavis and so on. We are not mechanech the children to fast at all, and you only wait till they're Bar Mitzvah. Before Bar Mitzvah, there's no chinuch at all. The question is, why not? Why should all the other Tanaisim be different from Yom HaKippur? So the Shabbat Sariyah says, because the other Tanaisim are forms of Avelos, and we know we pass them as there's no Avelos for a couple. If that's the reason why, then that reasoning would not apply to Tanya Tess. So then we should encourage our children before Bar Mitzvah to say yes on Tanya Tess. So the last year or two before the Bar Mitzvah, Bar Mitzvah to say yes the whole day. The year or two before that, depending how strong they are, to say yes part of the day. The Moshe Feinstein, he quotes that Shagatai in his truest Mechel Zarachem, and he doesn't agree. He thinks that that's not the reason why. He thinks that it's too difficult to insist that children should be to be fasting on all the days. On the Yom Kippur, it's a different thing. The real Mishnah not there. So there the Mishnah has a big Kriya on Yom Kippur. But the other Tanais, and he thinks that's not. Nothing to do with Avel. Thank you, Moshe Feinstein. There wouldn't be any chinuch to have children, young children, fast on Tanya festivities. So Rachid used to say over this every year, so often that Tanya festivities is different from the other Tanais, and it's a Tanya Shalcha, as opposed to a Tanya Shalcha. And he gave a different Nafkimina of Allah. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the standard Achronim, But on the other Tanaisim, let's say, sort of the Tanaisim and Gedalim, Shavuot of the Talmud, even though strictly speaking, you're permitted to bathe and you're permitted to wear shoes and so on, you only have to fast by Yom and not by Laila. We don't say Laila Kiyoma. And nevertheless, the Baal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atzmo, one of the Reish Hamayim and the Doctor and the Doctor Kamitzu, looking for Anita Chassidus, so the Shalom says like this, Magen Avraham quotes the Shalom, it's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, that the proper thing is that one is able to observe all of the Chamish Inuyim and Leilo Kiyom on all the other Tanaisim, not only on Tisha B'Av. So Rashi used to say that he thinks that that only applies to the other Tanaisim because they were instituted as a form of Avelus, and the Ikedin of Avelus includes Tashin Shamito, includes Tzicha and Rechitza and Nilos Hasami. But on Tainus Esther, where it's not a Tainus Shel Avelus at all, they thought that it wouldn't apply to him. You can say like our Salechi, you give a different reason. You can say the same Ascona based on a different reason anyway. Because the Shalom gives a different reason. The Shalom says that the other Tanaisim, Ikat Akonis Anaviim, were instituted the same as Tisha B'Av. They were Kiyom and with all the Chavishim. And it's only because the Manazeh is optional, Rosh Nisanim, Rosh Nisanim. So that's why we have chosen only to fast Hayom, and not to observe all the Chavishim. But if Amet is Yachma Latzmo, to observe the full Takana of Atonis, the way it was originally instituted by the Nevi, and the same way it was instituted by Tisha B'Av. If that's the reason for the Shalom, then you can say simply over here by Tainus Esther, that was never instituted by the Nevi, and Malach HaTchila was never instituted by the Nevi, with Leilu Kiyom and Chomish, and Chomish Inu. Maybe not. Yeah. In America, people eat all the time, so it's going to Europe. They didn't have so much food anyway. So they recommend it. They should say it. Let it be one. Let's say the Chamish Inuim, the rest of the Inuim, not the day. So it's possible. A person should take a dip, shouldn't take a shower on the time, on the other time. Now, time it says, so it would be permissible to the Chamish.
That's
on the other time, yeah. On the other Tanaisim, so the Shavuot says that the proper thing is to be machmer on Sicha and Rechitza. Just as Nilos Asandol, not, you shouldn't walk around without shoes because it'll look very strange. Mefti ki yuhara. Today, some people walk around with sneakers all the time. So people walk around with cloth shoes. So it wouldn't be that much of a mefti ki yuhara if a person would wear cloth shoes on the other time, depending who the person is. So if he walks around with clothes, it's going to look conspicuous that he's not wearing his leather shoes. Tend to. Baba Bagio has in his taste for Yechavador, as a Tshuva Lalocha, here there's a Shari Tshuva on page 301 in Hilchos Megillah regarding Chosim Kala. That a Chosim Tochi Mechu Pasai, the Birkei Yosef, to my friend Machosin and the Kala Turkey make Hupasin is a Shivis Mea Mishta, don't fast on Tainus Esther even if it's not a Mitzvah. Usually we say that if a Tisha B'Av, a Betavis, and Gedali, one of the Tanaisim is a Mitzvah, but then if there's a Brit Nila on that day, or there's a Chosin Tala on that day, so we declare it as Yontav Shalahem, and then the Gemara says, Hisaninu V'loi Hishlamnu, whenever it's a Yontav Shalahem, whenever a private person is celebrating a Yontav, and it's a nitche, so then the Gemara says an erev and a daf mem that you don't have to be mashna lekana. You can eat after chas, just this or chasur, then you can eat in the afternoon. But if it's not a nitche, then you have to fast the whole day, even though it's a yontav shalom. And here, with respect to Tainus Esther, the Shari Tshuva quotes the Birkei, and that's what Rav Avadia says, have a whole tshuva, that he passes like that. That's the din, that even if it's not a nitche, let's say you have a bris. Remember Rabbi Willie once had a bris, and with many Britons. He had a bris on Tainus Esther. So everybody else had a way to eat the suda till the night of Purim. He had a big suda on Purim night. He had pretty great on Gil. And he and his wife and the Moyel and the son, they ate on Tainus Esther because of this Shari Tshuva, that even if it's not a Nitzche, he can eat on the same day. The question is, what's the deal? Yes, I'm saying, yes. The question is, what's the deal? Why should Manishtana, why should this time be different from the others? So Rabbi Radio said, goes with one mahalach. He says that it's kalf. He says that it's not as serious as the other. That's the standard assumption here in the Shulchan Aruch. The Tanis Esther is not as serious chiyuv to fast as the other Tanis. Others disagree with that statement. I think it's the Ibn Ezra who comments on the pasuk at the very end of the Megillat Esther. Kashikim Aleim Balzam Diviatsom is Zach Kosom. He says that that's referring to Kainis Esther. The Kainis Esther is mentioned in the note, in the Sefer Esther. Kashikim Aleim Balzam Diviatsom is Zach Kosom. And according to some Gaonim, the Gemara, the very first daf in Megillah, speaks about Yom Kiniso. The Gemara speaks about Yud Gimel, is Man Kehila Lakovi. So the Gemara says you can certainly read the Megillah on Yud Gimel Ador for the Bnei HaTzvorim. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Because that's Man Kehila Lakov. So the Kivega on the side refers you to the Shiltas, who says that it means that that's Tainus Esther. So the way the Shiltas is interpreting the Gemara, then the Gemara is saying that Tainus Esther was there at the time that the Yanshe Knesak Dele instituted Purim, the Institute of Tainus Esther was. So they're claiming that this is an ancient Takana. But then it's not the way Rabbi Avraham Yosef is presenting many classical Achorim will say that it's more Kal than the other Tainus. It's not so. This Tainus Esther is managed as a Divi Kabbalah, it's more formal than Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is not the Divi Kabbalah of Manadu. Tisha B'Av, the Rashba says in the Rosh Hashanah, is only the Rabbanah for that. The Iker Adin, Tisha B'Av should also be worth in the Sinai, not saying the Sinai, it should be optional. And the Zman, that you live in a country where there's no open persecution against the Jews, even though there's no Beit HaMikdash, it should be optional. If you don't want to fast on Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't have to. And the Gemara statement that Tisha B'Av, you're obligated to fast, even though there's no persecution in your country against Jews, so the Rashba says that that's only the Rabban, that's not the Kabbalah. Hashem came kind of Esther. There is a group of Rishonim and Goyim who say that it's the Divi Kabbalah. It was instituted together, a package takana together with Purim itself. So one could lay a sermon, so wait a minute. To make a zeicher, right? To make a zeicher for the Tanaisim that Esther Mot Chayim. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. A zeicher for the Tanaisim that they say. But even if one assumes that Tainus Esther is not so killed, the reverse, perhaps it's even more common than Tisha B'Av, you can still explain this Sakhar Lacha. Why the Chasim Kala don't have to be mashma the Tanaisim? Even though the Tainus is not a Nitzcha, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, what's the difference whether the Tainus is a Nitzcha or it's not a Nitzcha? Why should it make a difference for Tisha B'Av and it's a Nitzcha? It's more Kal, so that's why if it's a person has a private Yontif, a Yontif Shalanu, then it doesn't have to be Mashlim. When Tisha B'Av is Biyomo, when it's not a Nitzcha, then it's more Chomer. A private Yontif doesn't allow you to break your Tainus. What's the Birago? Rav Soloveitchik thought the different shot. He thought that when Tisha B'Av itself is the Yom HaAvelah. So the Tavis is the Yom HaAvelah, it's the day in which we observe Avelah. So even if you happen to be celebrating a bris on that day, you're the father, the mother, the son, the mother of that baby, or you happen to just get married, you or your wife happen to just get married, she doesn't have mishpah, so it's the Yom Tov Shalom, it's the Friday Yom Tov. So how can you possibly eat on that day? You cannot label the day as the Yom Tov. The day is labeled for Gan Klal Yisrael, for the entire Jewish people, it's labeled on the calendar as a Yom Tov. So how can you superimpose the Shem Yom Tov on a day which is a Yom Eivah? But if it's a Nitzche, a Nitzche means that yesterday was the Yom Eivah and today I'm doing the Kiyum HaTonis that I became a chayv to do yesterday, but today is not the Yom Eivah. So today is not the Yom Eivah, today is a blank day on which I'm trying to fulfill the Kiyum HaTonis that I was in Shchayv in yesterday. That's what a Nitzche means. It's a Tashlumen. It's a being Mashlum today what I was a chayv to do yesterday, even though today is not a Yom Eivah. So today is not a Yom Eivah on the calendar, and it happens to be a Yom Tov Shalom with my private Yom Tov because I just got married and she's now Nishta, or we just celebrated a bris. Then I label the day as a Yom Tov Shalom. Once the day is labeled as a Yom Tov, then it's forbidden for me to fast. Then I eat Nisaninu v'loy Nishlam Nuvud, and we only fast for Lesa Hasayt, and then we eat in the afternoon. But on Tainus Esther, since Tainus Esther is not a Tainus Shal Avelus at all, it's a Tainus Shal Simcha. So there is no Taita Yisashi in the first place. To begin with, you can say that it's Tainus Esther, even if it's not a Nitzche, it's Tainus Esther. And I do label the day as a Yom Tov Shalom. The only time it's a Taita Yisashi is if it's Tisha B'Av, it's Asara B'Tavis, and Gedalia, Shabbat B'Tam, if it's a Yom Ezel, on the calendar for the entire Jewish nation, it's labeled as a Yom Ezel, then you cannot superimpose a shame, Yom Tov Shalom, and then turn around and declare that since the day is labeled as a Yom Tov, it's forbidden for me to fast the whole day. But on Tainus Esther, even if it's not a Nitzche, it's not a Yom Eivah at all, so there's no spirit. You label a Tainus Esther for everybody, then you label a Yom Tov Shalom for me, because I just got married, and because it's a Yom Tov Shali, so I'm forbidden to fast the whole day. So that's what Rabbi Avraham Yosef taught me, that on Tainus Esther, a couple of people just got married, on Tainus Esther, the Chasim Kala don't have to fast to the end of the day. He's Aminu, but I'll just fast the morning, and then he can eat in the afternoon. Ramo quotes a meaning, the Buddha talks about it, is the proper meaning to give tzedakah on Tanya Sestri. The Gemara says in the first paragraph in Brochas that the ikir schar that you get for fasting on a Tanya is not so much over the fact that you suffer hunger pangs, but rather over the fact that you give tzedakah. The Gemara says, Agra the Tanya Sestitkisam. The Agra, the schar that you get for fasting on Tanya is the tzedakah that you give. The Gemara has a whole list of things. The Gemara says that the main reward that people get for coming to learn in the Shir is not so much for learning, because when they walk out they're going to forget everything. But the main reward is because the room is crowded and they suffered when they were sitting and listening to the Shir. It was uncomfortable for an hour or two. That's what the Gemara says. Agra the Kala Duchka. The Gemara has Agra, all the rewards that you get. All the different words that you get for different things. The Mishnah Brewer quotes this in Hilchos Tainus that everybody should give tzedakah on the Tainus, because that's more important. How much tzedakah is any mikra dime quarter? The quotes from the classical Acharonim that you should give as much money as you're saving on that eating meal. That if it wouldn't have been a ton, if you would have had breakfast, you would have had lunch. Supper you're going to have. After you're done, you're going to have supper. But you would have had breakfast and lunch. Breakfast would cost you $1.50. Lunch would cost you right that $1.50. So that's $3. So the amount of money that you're saving for breakfast and lunch, you should give to tzedakah. There is another minig here in Shulchan Aruch, a special minig b'miyuchad on Tanya Sestri, to give some money, zeicha l'machzus ha-shekel. Everybody should keep in mind that they're not giving machzus ha-shekel chalila, the machzus ha-shekel is hegdish. And then you can't give it to the tzedakah that the SOI or whoever is in charge is going to give it to. You have in mind just to make a zeicha l'machzus ha-shekel, that this mantra, b'cha mikdash ha-yakayim, is required that everybody, all the men, had to give machzus ha-shekel, starting from Rosh Chodesh Adar, in order that the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash, the Gizborim, Shal Machzah Shekel, of the Trumot HaLishka, should have enough money on Rosh Chodesh Nissan to purchase the new Kabbalah Sibur, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, with the new Machzah Shekel money. How much do you get Machzah Shekel? So the Rambam says that the meaning is that you give $1.50, if you can afford. If you can afford, you give it $0.50. Purim itself was instituted by the Anshei Tzedakah Gedolah, that's the first Mishnah, the first Gemara in Megillah. They instituted Milachatzchila to celebrate on three different days. If you live in a regular place, you celebrate on Yudalet Adar. If you live in Shushan Pur, if you live in Shushan, or you live in the near Hamukav, then you celebrate on Shushan Pur. And if you're for the Bnei HaKfar, you live in the little villages, then they give you a kula that you can lay in the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa, the Monday of the Thursday before Purim. The Gemara says that special break, that the Gemara says in the first half of Megillah, that was instituted by the Anshei Tzedakah Gedolah, that the Bnei HaKfarim, the villages, can lay the Megillah earlier, on Monday or Thursday earlier, that's called the Yom HaKnisa, the day when they go into the city. That was instituted by the Anshei Tzedakah Gedolah. We have a din that was instituted later, that when Purim falls out on Shabbos, or Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos, that you're not permitted to lay the Megillah on Shabbos, you have to lay earlier. That's not the Anshei Tzedakah Gedolah. That's the latest takana. That works, and it doesn't appear that was built into the original Takanas Chachamim. So later the Chachamim decided, Yeshkaf Yachacham Laka Dogman Atarah to Shevi Altase. They had the power to say that you shouldn't shake a lulav and you shouldn't blow shayfa when Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. But they certainly had the power to cancel the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos. That was the latest Takanas. When you have Shushan Purim falling out on Shabbos, like we have sometimes, that they should lay in there earlier. A minyan achal atiro? No. You only need a minyan achal atiro when we want to abolish a takana de rabbanim. But they weren't interested in doing away with Shushan Purim. They just said, let's say, when the Chachamim forbade us from blowing shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. So there was no minyan achal atiro. They left the din derei to din komo. They really believe the blow shot. They left the din rabbanim and komo. They really believe the lady megillah. I'm shushan for me. I'm shushan for all that on Shabbos. And they may forbid you from doing that because Shem Yalaram. But they were never oiked the original tachon. The only time we need the forward where. The Gemara asks that whenever Purim or Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos, the why not say that you can't lay the Megillah until after you become a Kliyot to lay the Megillah? You don't become a Kliyot on Purim or Shushan Purim, so once you lay the day after. The Gemara has a Pesach from the Pesach in Esther that it says below Yavah.
No, I'm saying
No, Mark said it is Lo Yavah. Wherever you live, you have to lay in the Megillah.
Oh,
on your Purim. Whenever your Purim is, you have to lay in the Megillah. As far as that, we don't have this takona of the Yom HaKippur. We still have the other takona, that you're not allowed late in the Gula on Shabbos. That we certainly have. The same as not blowing shofar on Shabbos and not shaking the lulav on Shabbos. But this takona that the Bnei HaKfam can be magdim, the Yom HaKnisa, read in the Gila on Monday or Thursday, the Gemara says that after the Churban Beit HaMikdash and there's so many persecutions against Jews, we don't allow that today. So that the people are going to read the Megillah earlier, so they're going to get a little bit stuck on Pesach. So we don't allow that anymore. This is a shaila though, whether that means that the entire takana of Yom HaKnisa was completely, totally abolished. There's no takana of Yom HaKnisa at all. Oh, no, the Yom HaKnisa institution is still there, except that the Bnei HaKfar are not permitted to use it. L'may not kemina, where they say that it's there and you can't use it, they say that it's not there at all.
Yes.
You don't use it, you don't use it. No, no. So the shaila, okay, maybe. What about the B'yavid? Both of them the B'yavid if they would like. Okay. Could be. But then there's another Nafkimina. What happens when Mar discusses if Purim falls out on Shabbos? Oh, yes, it never happens. It never happens. Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos. So what happens if Purim falls out on Shabbos? So the Gemara says you have to lay in the Gil on some other day. So you can't lay later because of the B'yavid. You have to lay earlier. So when earlier do you lay? So the Gemara says, well, since the Bnei HaKfarim are reading on Thursday, so why should we recommend that the Bnei HaYorah should lay in on Friday, just to mix everybody up? That the people who live in Shushan, the Shushan Purim is on Sunday. And the Bnei HaKfarim are going to read on Thursday. And these people who should have read on Shabbat, they should read on Friday. So, well, why should you have them read on Friday? Since the Bnei HaKfarim are reading on Thursday, so may as well have everybody read on Thursday. Let the Bnei HaYorah read on Thursday also. So the question is, what about Bizman HaZeh? No, Bizman HaZeh never falls out on Shabbos. But what if you would have it? It can never happen. What if theoretically, if Purim would fall out on Shabbos, would we move back the Bnei HaYorah to Friday? Or would we move them back to the Yom HaKnisa? So it looks like there's a machlekes the Rambam and the Raibit about it. The Raibit is masik on a Rambam and Hilchos Purim. We're not exactly sure what he's disagreeing about. So some say he's not disagreeing, just doesn't approve of the style of the Rambam. That's what some nice occasions say. The Rabbi writes Dvarav Mirovavim, his words are all confused. So some nice occasions, they're trying to figure out what's wrong. The Rambam just was matik the Gemara. He just copied straight words for the whole Gemara. So some say that the Rabbi just says he should have written it better. That's an editorial comment. He didn't do a good job of writing. That's a little strange. The Rabbi never argues with the Rambam. He doesn't like the way his style is. He usually argues halacha l'maisa. So others interpret that he's arguing in din. And then the question is, what din? What does the Rambam say that's wrong? He just quoted the Gemara. Some say that this is the Nekuda that he's fighting about. Whether Bizman HaZeh, if Purim would fall out on Shabbos, which you can never have an enemy, theoretical machlekes. And we don't have any institution of Yom HaKnisa. Does that mean that we wiped away the takon of Yom HaKnisa? So the Bnei HaYorah would read the Megillah on Friday? Or no? The institution still is there of Yom HaKnisa, just that we don't use it. But for the Bnei HaYorah, we would use it. They would read on Thursday. That's theoretical. If I would have a sister, would she enjoy the game? No, the Mekoches Chama we know. If Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos and then Purim falls out on Friday, so then we say have them read on Friday.
Because
all the normal people in the world are reading on Friday, so we say have them read on Friday. We don't have them read on Thursday. That's the machloek that's also in the Gemara. One time it says if they read on Thursday and it comes out that the Mekoches Chama lay before the Ayorim. And the other time it says, how can you have that? It says, the other side is the Mekoches. Just like every year, the Mekoches don't lay a day before the Ayorim, so to this year they can't lay the day before, so they should all lay on the same day. Machloek is not on what? Purim is considered a yontif. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that a person has to dress with big day Shabbos and yontif. You don't just wear your regular dungarees and the sneakers that you normally wear, unless that's what you wear on Shabbos. So the din requires that on Shabbos you're supposed to wear big day Shabbos. The Gemara has a Masech Shabbos in Perek Kol Kisvei. It's a special din. Pasuk in Yishai v'karot of the Shabbos Tanek v'kdosh Hashem v'chubot. You have to dress in a bekovadika fashion. On Shabbos, the Rambam quotes it. That's one of the two mitzvahs Medirei Kabbalah. There are four mitzvahs on Shabbos Shnayim, Shtayim Medirei Torah, Shtayim Medirei Sefer. The two Menaterah Zachov Hashem, the two Medirei Sefer are Kibud Bionik. So Kibud includes, the Gemara states that Kibud includes wearing special big day Shabbos. So the Rambam writes that this thing applies to Purim as well, that you have to wear big day Shabbos beyond the Purim. The table should be set. There should be. if you live at home, if you live in a dormitory somewhere, dorm room is always erect, no? Shabbat, weekday, whatever. But if you live in a normal home, so sometimes some people have a practice that the whole week the home is floppy, the kids throw their junk all over. And on Shabbos, at least, Shabbos Yom Tov, the house looks normal, neat. So on Purim, the house should be neat, like you should treat Purim like a regular Shabbos Yom Tov, whatever you do on a normal Shabbos Yom Tov. The main mitzvah of Purim, you all know, is Kriyas HaMegillah. Gemara says that there's an obligation to read the Megillah Balaylo Udushanoso Biyom. Basis says on Dav Dalet Amin Aleph Masechus Megillah that the Ike Chi of Kriyas HaMegillah is really Bayom. What do you mean Ike Chi is Bayom? So Rav Soloveitchik used to comment on the Lashon HaGemara that it says Udushanoso Biyom, that the Kriya Balaylo is just in order to enable the Kriya Bayom to be the second Kriya. Udushanoso means the Chazer Ozer. The Gemara says, like a person says, I'll be Madras Sedra, ever Parsha Sador, the Eshneno, and I will chazer it over. The second time you learn something, you understand it better. So the Gemara sounds like it says like that. That's how the Nitzib interprets in Lashon Gemara. Chai Valam Likris is in Megillah Balayla, Lashanosa Bayom, the Ike Chiyas Kriyas HaMegillah really is Bayom, and you read the Megillah Balayla, the night of Purim, in order to make it that the Kriya Bayom should be the second Kriya, so you understand it better. People don't remember from one year to the next the story of Purim. So when they read the Megillah the night of Purim, so they're sort of making a lane in. And they read, when they hear the Megillah again the second time in the morning of Purim, then they remember more from last night, and then they understand better what's going on.
But this
no, there was no tatana. But the Ike thing is, you should.
The second time.
Well, once you read it the first time by Yom, you will already be yoichin. So there won't be any way to make up for this. But still, you should keep in mind that that the important is the Kriyas HaMegillah is Balayla. Bayom is more important. In America, it became Ben HaHapechu. That everybody comes to shul on Leil Purim, and then nobody comes to shul at all. Many other people don't come to shul at all in the daytime. Or the women, a lot of times, the women and children only come to shul on Leil Purim, and they don't come to shul on Purim in the daytime. So the Tesis points out that it should be just the reverse. That if a person can only go to Mikra Megillah once or the other, can't hear both, then you should go Bayom. Bayom is more important than Balayla. The Gemara has on Dapei Amud Aleph a machlokas amaroyim, whether there is a requirement for a minyan asora when you read the Megillah bizmana, when you read the Megillah on Purim. When you read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa, those villagers used to read on the Monday of the Thursday before, then Rav Asi both say, all the amaroyim agree that it was required to have a minyan. But when you read the Megillah bizmana on Purim, is a machlokas. Rav Asi says that you need a minyan even bizmanai. And Rav holds that you don't need a minyan when you read the Megillah bizmana. Rashi says, why? Because everybody's reading the Megillah. But for assuming Nisa already, since everybody's reading the Megillah, that constitutes just assuming Nisa. Nonetheless, even though Rav disagreed with Rav Asi, the Gemara ends off on Daf Yam and Aleph. Nonetheless, Atalochi, Chosh Le Rav Lohad Rav Asi. Rav is Choshish for Rav Asi's opinion, for his opponent's opinion. Imagine bizmana said that there should be a machlekes between two rabbis, and one rabbi should be Choshish for the other rabbi's opinion. It's unusual. So Rav was Choshish for Rav Asi's opinion, and he was medactic to have a minyan for Kriyas HaMegillah, even on Purim, even Bizmanot. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the proper thing is to lay the Megillah with a minyan of Asara. If he can't get a minyan, so he's asking me to read in like Rav. And some Rishonim say, the Balamor claims that the Pshat and the Machlek is Rav Asi is the Redin Lachatchila. He says the whole Machlek is only on a level of Lachatchila, not on a level of Bidiyevit. Even Rav Asi would agree that to the Eved you can be Yosef the Megillah without a minyan. The Ramban disagrees. Ramban there and the Melchamas disagrees with that Balamor. He says that it doesn't make sense. If the whole dispute between Rav Asi only is whether Lachatchila you need a minyan, this manna. But to the Eved even Rav Asi would agree that you're Yosef the Megillah without a minyan. But he finds that it doesn't make sense that Rav should be Choshish for Rav Asi's opinion. If Rav Asi holds that to the Eved you're not Yosef unless you have a minyan, so then you understand. Rav was a little nervous. He was concerned. The other rabbi holds that I'm not even yet to the Yevitz, I better satisfy his sheep. So Rav is Choshish Rav Asi's sheep. But if the Balamor is right, that even Rav Asi says that the Yevitz is Yevitz without a minyan, but Rav Asi also has to need a minyan. And Rav himself holds he doesn't even need a minyan, but Hatzila. So why should Rav be Choshish Rav Asi if it's only a dispute on a level of their right? That's what the Ramban argues. But the Balamor holds not, so the Balamor learns that the dispute was on a level of Lechatzila. And Lechatzila we require Asura. Not only do we require Asura Lechatzila, we require also the Beit HaKnesset. Let's say you can make a minyan in your home, and you can go to shul and have a minyan in shul. So unless it's a reform shul or a conservative shul or something like that, we're talking about normal. If things are normal, so then it says in the Shulchan Aruch that it's preferable to have your minyan in shul as opposed to having private minyan. Who says that? That's the Tzur, quotes the Baal HaIkar. The Gemara on Daf Yutes on the base distinguishes between Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yochid as opposed to Kriyas HaMegillah B'Tzigur. That the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Zimbit. If you have written in one cloth, you have, let's say, all the Chumash Megillahs on one cloth, Eicha, Esther, Shirashir, Rus, Kohelet, everything all together. Then the Gemara says, if you lay from such a cloth, the Megillah HaTzur, then HaTzurim, if you lay B'Yochid, you would be Yotz. If you lay B'Tzigur, the Gemara says, you're not Yotz. Strange Gemara. That's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So what do you mean if you lay B'Yochid, you're Yotz? But Rav Asi holds that you're not Yotz if you lay B'Yochid. So how does that Gemara and Rav Yutez correspond with Rav Asi? So the Baal HaMor and many Rishonim say that Rav Asi only means L'Hatchila. Rav Asi himself agrees that if you would lay B'Yochid without a minion, you would be Yotz. Others say that it's a Machlokes. But that Rabbi Yechanan on Daf Yutez disagrees with Rav Asi. What's this? Just like you have a Machlokes with Rav Asi. You have the Mandal on Daf Yutez holds against Rav Asi. The Baal HaItur wants to save everybody. So he says there's no machloike, we're talking about two different things. When Rabbi Yechanan and Das Yutes distinguishes between B'yochid as opposed to B'tzibur, he doesn't mean B'yochid without a minion. B'yochid and B'tzibur, everything goes with a minion. Basara, B'yochid means you're laying in a private home, and B'tzibur means you're laying in shul. When you're laying the Beis HaKnesses, then it has to be from a separate Megillah. You can't lay from the Megillah HaKtuvah Ben HaKtuvah. But if you're laying in a private home, even though you're laying Basara, that's called B'yochid, and it may be a Megillah HaKtuvah Ben HaKtuvah. We don't really understand the whole Gemara. Why should be the difference whether you're laying B'yochid or B'tzibur? All the regular Rishonim learn Shad B'yochid versus B'tzibur. B'yochid means without a minion, and B'tzibur means with a minion. So we don't really understand the Gemara like that either. Whatever the Pshat will be, the way the regular Rishonim learn will be, the same Pshat, according to the Baal HaIkar. The question, why should the Gemara make a difference? So the Baal HaIkar is the one who introduces this notion that the Tzibur is a greater Hebrew that you have to land up to the Beis HaKnesses. The Tzur quotes the Baal HaIkar and he says he doesn't think that he's right. But later Achleim points out, not only he doesn't think that he's right, all the Rishonim say against the Baal HaIkar because they all ask this kasha. Abbas, he says that you always have to land within the Yerivim, Duzmano. So what does Abbasi do with the Gemara and Daki test? And all the Rishonim gives the answers on it. Nobody says the Baal HaIkar says that the Tzibur and the Yochid means in Shul as opposed to not in Shul, but they both meet with a minion. Because all the Rishonim disagree with the Baal HaIkar. But nonetheless, we're machmir l'chatchila to have asara, we're machmir l'chatchila to go to shul. Here the Kriyas HaMegillah in shul. The Mishnah says that you can lay in the Megillah either standing or sitting. The Rambam says that that means that those who are listening to the Mikra Megillah, the Baal Koreh, if he's waiting for a minion, had a thought of Tzibur should stand. But the Tzibur may sit. There isn't a Hidah l'chatchila even to stand the Shas Kriyas HaMegillah. The Shas Kriyas HaTorah. The Shas Kriyas HaTorah, the Maharam Rittenberg introduced a private chumra that he used to stand. And also Mikra Rabbini held it as permissible to sit. He didn't insist that his Balabatim should stand. He alone stood, and the other Balabatim sat. Regarding the Brachas on the Megillah, there's a dispute among the Achronim. If the Kriyas on the Megillah itself does not require Amidah, only the Baal Koreh has to stand and make Lord HaTzibur. But the Tzibur may sit. Is there a requirement that the Tzibur should stand when the Baal Koreh recites the three Brachas for Fonel to be mighty them? So the Mishnah Bura quotes in the name of the Machsa Shekel that we have a klal that all Brachas on Mitzvah have to be recited by Amidah. So the three Brachas that we recite before Mikra Megillah have to be recited by Amidah. But St. Yeshua on Perek HaKori Omer disagrees with this. He says that it doesn't make any sense. The only time you require Amidah for the brachas of a mitzvah is if the mitzvah itself requires Amidah, then the brachas have the same status as the mitzvah. But if the mitzvah itself doesn't require Amidah, if it's permissible to Hatzibah, there's nothing wrong with Hatzibah with reading the Megillah in Yeshiva, so why should you insist on Amidah for the Birchas HaMegillah? The brachas are more common than the Megillah itself. Now, Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva in the Hatzvi where he presents this argument very forcefully, and he thinks that Tzvi Shu is right against the Machta Shem. Mishnah Brewer points out in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah that it's not permissible to touch the parchment of the Megillah with your bare hand. The Gemara has a din in Megillah, and the first person Shabbos also left the Sefer Torah Orem. It's a din to touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah with your bare hand, unless you're a Sefer and you have the right to take a Torah. But let's say you're not a Sefer, you want to check your mezuzah. So when you take down the mezuzah case, you shouldn't handle the cloth itself. If you want to check yourself, you think that you're so smart you know how to check the cloth, it's either cautious that you should hold the cloth with a piece of cloth. You shouldn't hold it with your bare hand. And the same thing with the inside of the tefillin. The bayis shall still in order to it that he permitted to hold with the bare hands. And the chaim of the tefillin are also he permitted to hold with the bare hands. That's what it's there for. But the parsha of the mezuzah or the cloth of the Sefer Torah, the cloth of the Megillah for that matter, is forbidden to touch with the bare hands. So the question is, so how does the Balkar read the Megillah? So he should fold it up and hold it all like this and like that. So how does he touch it? He doesn't wear gloves. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, based on a Ramon, Hilchot Kriyas HaTorah, that outside of Chamishu Chamishu Torah, if you have Nevi'im Ketuvim in there, if the person will wash his hands until it's done with a cup in advance, without a bracha, then he will be permitted to handle the cloth of the Nevi'im and Ketuvim. The Sefer Torah belongs to the Nevi'im and Ketuvim do. And he explains what the whole thing is based on. So those who have their own Megillah and they're going to touch it with their bare hands should be careful to wash until it's a diamond in advance for the bracha. No. Hamotzi, Birchas HaNenem, you say sitting down because the Achilas is going to be sitting down. So I guess the Birchas Al Achilas Matzah that goes with the Birchas HaNenem is also the yeshiva. But if it would be some other mitzvah that he could do the yeshiva, he would insist that you have to recite the bracha b'ami. Sure. Pashto says that the pain is right.
And one of the shuvot of Hakam Raja Yosef just brings down by Berachot to the Ante Torah, there's only seven brachot that you have to, only seven brachot he's paying for. So how do we get the cloud?
This is not one of them. Okay.
So where do you get the cloud? You mentioned that all mitzvot, all brachot from mitzvah,
right, the Magen Avraham has that chidush. He made up from Sinai. Magen Avraham made up his own song. It's Simachet. But all Birchas HaMitzvah you have to sing. All Birchas Sharach Vaizoy, he says you also have to sing. But the person is sitting and then it starts to thunder or there's lightning. And he wants to say the bracha, so he has to stand up. He has to stand up when he says the bracha. That's how the Magen Avraham says. That's the question, right? Maybe Birchas Sharach Vaizoy, Mehechetayis, but Birchas HaMitzvah, is the mitzvah itself can be done by yeshiva? How can you say that the bracha is more common than the mitzvah? That's the time. We have a meaning that we recite a bracha after the Megillah also. The Gemara has a mitzvah of the bracha, but it's only Rishut. It's not a chayva. The bracha, Rabbis Rivenu, Adonis Dinenu, etc. There are more quotes from the Yerushalmi that bracha, Rabbis Rivenu, is only recited the Asara. If you have a minion. If you don't have a minion, read the Megillah at home that you don't recite the bracha, Rabbis Rivenu. The Vilna Goyen says that there is no such Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi says you only say a bracha, Lachreha, Basara, is going on Bichas HaTorah. If a person is learning at home, so he says the Birchas HaTorah for now, before he learns. It's not permissible. You wake up in the morning and you're very eager to learn, so it's not permissible to learn before you say the Birchas HaTorah. You have to first say the brachas and then learn. The Gemara says that it's an avera to learn. It's an avera to learn. No. An avera to learn without having recited Birchas HaTorah in advance. The Gemara says, why was the second Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Ashal HaBircha BaTorah Tchilah. Because they didn't recite the Birchas HaTorah before they learned. They were so crazy about learning, they were learning all day, all night, and they were mezalva with the bracha. They didn't say the Birchas HaTorah before learning. That's what Gemara says in the end in the Torah. But you don't recite the Birchas HaTorah le'achreya. When you finish learning, you go to sleep. You don't say Hashanah Salman and then go to sleep. But if you basura, if you get an aliyah and shul, and there's a minion, then you recite the Birchas HaTorah le'achreya before the aliyah, and the Birchas HaTorah le'achreya. So the Vilna Gaon says that's what the Yerushalmi is talking about. It's talking about the bracha shel achreya of Talmud Torah. It's not talking about the bracha shel achreya of Kriyas HaMegillah. But many of the later Achronim quote this Ramah, and they assume that that's the meaning. That when you're laying B'yochid, you don't recite the Bracha Shel Achreha afterwards. So that's the question, what if you're laying for a group of women? You have 10 women, they can go to shul, they have little babies, whatever, they just had a baby in a hospital, whatever, and you don't have a minion of 10 men. Is that considered the Yochid or is that considered Basar? So this is a dispute in the Torah, Machlokes Nirishayim, whether when you speak of a minion for the purposes of Kriyas HaMegillah, does it mean a minion of 10 Jewish people or does it mean a minion of 10 Jewish men? But there are more sense that we're machmer on that. So we have to have that for 10 men to constitute a minion. If you don't have 10 men, then our meaning is that you don't say the Bracha HaRavish Vizayim. The Torah raises the question, is it permissible to schmooze in the middle of Mikra Megillah? If there's a clapping home and anyway for 5 minutes. But can I talk in learning or whatever, politics? You're not learning. Can I talk about politics in the middle of Kriya Samigil? So the Torah says, well, the Bracha Shel Achreha is only a minute. You're not pleased to say the Bracha Shel Achreha. If the Bracha Shel Achreha would be Dina, you have to say it. So then there would be a, there has to be some connection between the bracha before and the bracha after. But then he understands that you're not allowed to cook. But since the bracha after Mikra Megillah is not Mikdina, it's only the Mishnah says. It's the minute Amachim is to recite it. You say, the minute Amachim is to say the bracha shalachra, you don't say. And then the Torah says, well, why should it really be forbidden to talk in the middle of Mikra Megillah? But he says, that's not fine. He recommends that you shouldn't cook. So the later Achraim asked on the tour, what are you talking about? It's like the Gemara in Bracha. It says the Ferish and Daf Yitala. There is a din that in the middle of Kriyashma, sometimes you're permitted to be mafsik and say Hakovot, and sometimes to say Hayiro. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the status of Mikra Megillah? Should I say that Mikra Megillah is only the Rabbana? Kriyashma is the Raisis, and Mikra Megillah is the Rabbana, so it's a Kavachemer. That you have these coolers, that you're permitted to be mafsik and say Hakovot and say Hayiro. Or maybe I should say just the reverse, that even though it's in the Rabbana, but since it's for the sake of the Sumi Niso, so it's more common, you don't even have a head to be mafsik from Tehah Kovetim from Tehah Yiro. So the Gemara's whole topic was, the Gemara had to be Bayo, but the Mikra Megillah is more common than Kriyashma, or it's the same as Kriyashma. But to say that you're permitted to be mafsik to talk in the middle of Mikra Megillah, that's certainly not. You see from the Gemara that it's also Medina, not like the Torah says, he recommends that you shouldn't talk in the middle of Mikra Megillah. It's a real din that you're not permitted to talk. I talk to why not? So the Pashto says you can give one simple explanation and one fancy explanation. Give a simple explanation. You recite a Birchas HaMitzvah in the beginning. You don't fulfill a mitzvah until you read the last word in the Megillah. So you're not permitted to be matzik in between. Not only is it forbidden to be matzik in between the Birchas HaMitzvah and the beginning of the mitzvah, the Kolof HaMitzvah is forbidden to be matzik in between the Birchas HaMitzvah and the final conclusion of the whole mitzvah at the very end. So that's all the pashtus, that's it's also medina to be mafsik in the middle of Sakar. It's more chomer. The middle of Kriyashma, the Rajbo points out on that Gemara and Brachas, you're not allowed to be mafsik. Even when you say Kriyashma Lamita, you're not saying any Brachas before, after. There is no Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriyashma. And still you're not allowed to be mafsik. Birchas HaMitzvah is a Birchas HaMitzvah. Of course it's forbidden to talk until you complete doing the whole mitzvah. That's all derech pashtus. And then even aside from that, the Rabbi Yoina points out that even if one has the meaning that he doesn't recite the bracha on halal, on chatzi halal, on Rosh Chodesh, chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. So that's why there's a big dispute in the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfardim against the Ashkenazim, whether you recite a bracha or not on chatzi halal, whether you recite a bracha on a minhag. So even those who don't recite a bracha on chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh, because you can't say kiddushan mitzvot v'tzivon, zolo mitzvah, zolo tzivui, it's only a minhag, nevertheless, it's Muchach from the Gemara that it's also the Hafsik and Halal on Rosh Chodesh. That's the Gemara in the Gemara Brachot. It's forbidden to be Mafsik, just as now Kovet and saying, you are permitted to be Mafsik. But otherwise, the same Sugya, and that's Yidalit. It's forbidden to be Mafsik and Halal on Rosh Chodesh, even though it's only a minute. So the question is, why? If you hold that no Brachot are recited, not before, not after the Halal, what's wrong with being Mafsik? Because Rabbeinu Yonah says, you see from the Gemara, that the Easter Hafsik in the middle of Halal has nothing to do with the fact that you said a Brachot, you didn't say a Brachot. Halal, he's supposed to be praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he starts schmoozing in the middle of the Shebach, he's talking, he's praising the Rabban Shalom. Let's say, singing his nearest on Shabbos. And then Rabban Shalom should be praising, gave a Shabbos, and then he starts talking about the football scores or something. How does it fit in with the Shebach? So it ruins the whole Shebach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's say a person is davening Minchen. He says Ashrei. He's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of Ashrei. He starts schmoozing with somebody and learning, whatever. So he's ruining the Shebach. He's demonstrating that he's not really giving Shebach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mikra Megillah is also Shevach. The Gemara says that when you read the Megillah, not only do you have a Kima Mitzvah of Kriyas Kisvi HaKodesh, like when you lay Maftir, when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, you're laying Kisvi HaKodesh, you also have a Kiyum of Hallel. The Gemara says the Kriyas is Uhalela. Reading the Megillah is like reciting Hallel. So it's not, just like it's not permissible to be Maftir in the middle of Hallel, even if you say no brachas at all, not before, not after. Similarly, it's not permissible Medina to be mafsik in the middle of the Kriya Samigila. Did he ever, if a person would be mafsik, he wouldn't have to say the brachas over again. He would be yoitzeh. But l'chatchila, it's not permissible to be mafsik. Of course, when we say a person talks in the middle of the Megillah, he's yoitzeh with the ever, that means if he's paying attention, he heard everything from the Balkari. When a Balkari is pausing, then he's talking. But if he's talking at the same time the Balkari is talking, he's not paying attention to the Balkari, then he won't be yoitzeh to make him again. Right, the din is you have to hear every single word in the Megillah. What happens if you didn't hear one word in the Megillah, so you're stuck? You have to go to another shul. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they give you an eitzah. So the Gemara says that if you have a Megillah that's missing a lot of words, it's rubbed out, a lot of words are rubbed out. So the Gemara says if rove of the words are Rishuma Nikra, or over the words are clear, they're written, so then it's B'diyevet, it's kosher. L'chatchilah, you really have a Megillah that's perfectly written, but B'diyevet, if it's only written Rubai, then it's good. We see from that Gemara two things. Number one, that the Kedushas, Kisvi HaKadosh of the Megillah is intact, even though you only have rov of the words, and it's a B'torah, we say that Shachos Rei Takas doesn't have the Kedusha. We assume, the Rishonim assume, the Rizvah, another Rishonim assume, that the same is true regarding all the other Nevi'im Ksuvim. It's not only a Din in Sefer Torah. All of Sefer Tanakh require that there should be Ksuvim Kulam, with the one exception of Megillah Esther, because Nikrit Begeret. As long as it's Nikhtav Rubo, it's sufficient to have a Kedushas Kisvi HaKadosh. So number one, the Gemara tells us that if it's Nikhtav Rubo, it has Kedushas Kisvi HaKadosh out of the Torah of Megillah Esther. And number two, alright, it has Kedushas Kisvi HaKadosh, but you have to lay Mitzvah HaKadosh. So those words that are missing, or those words that are rubbed out, aren't you laying those b'peh? So the answer is yes. We see from that Gemara that even though we require the Kriyas HaMegillah should be Mitech HaKsav and Kral Peh Lo Yotka, the Mishnah says if you lay b'peh, not Yotzeh, that's only if you lay in the Rov b'peh. But if you lay in the Rov Mitech HaKsav and the Miut b'peh, then you would be Yotzeh. So that's what the Achrayim say, let's say I'm sitting in Shul and listening to Mikra Megillah, and then I miss the word because I'm making noise, clapping hummer, whatever, or the Balkorei gobbled up a couple of words. So I can read from a Chumash, even though the Chumash is not a Kosher Megillah, it's not written on parchment, I can read from a Chumash, let's say the last word that I heard was, whatever. The last word that I heard from Balkorei going in order was this word. So I should read starting from the next word on till I catch up to the Balkorei, and I'll have everything laying in the proper order. Because if you lay in HaKorei L'Mafrei Eloyot, if you lay in the Pesukim out of order, you're not Yotzei. You have to lay in everything in order. So I heard everything from the Balkorei till a certain Pesuk. Starting from that pasuk, I missed the pasuk kedush. I can say those psukim from the printed chumash, and then I have to read all those psukim until I catch up to where the balkori is, and then pick up and continue listening to the balkori laning mitar haksav. So it will turn out the robe of the mikra migilai heard mitar haksav.
If I understand correctly, one must not only hear it, one must also read every word while being recited by one's
balkori. No, you're not supposed to read this unless you have a kosher megillah. If you want to read your own.
So I mean, but can one theoretically be
principle of Shamei Akaina, just like somebody says Kiddush Al-Dala, and I listen and I'm Yotzei, so too Mikra Megillah. One person reads the Megillah for everybody, and everybody's Yotzei by listening.
So if I just listen to the Balkorei till the halfway point, a little past the halfway point, then I just gobble up the rest and by much myself, I'm Yotzei.
But the Yevid, you'd be Yotzei. Well, Hathchili, she really learned everything with her Hakzan, but the Yevid, you would be Yotzei. Let's say somebody comes into Shul a minute late. Balkorei is... He just started the first, he read the first pasuk. So what does he have to do? He has to go to another minyan. Or maybe he should say the three brachas quickly and start, like you said, and start saying the first two or three psukim and until he catches up with the balkorei. And then he doesn't want to go to the late minyan. He wants to dominate this minyan. So the Mishnah Berurah has a machlokes with one of the achrenim about that, whether that's legitimate or not. Why? Because the Gemara has a four-way machlokes, how much of the Megillah Esther that you have to lay in on Purim. We pass him like the Tanu says, Kulam. You have to lay the Megillah from the beginning to the end. But three other Tanuim disagree and say that it's not necessary to lay the entire Megillah. One Tanu says you only have to lay from the starting from the Pasuk Yishu Yehoi Meshushan Abiru. Starting from there. The other Tanu says you only have to begin laying from Balayla Hunar Doshnat Amela, from the beginning of the Tokh Vashonet. And the third Tanu says, no, you don't have to lay from there. You only have to begin from Achari Abram Helah, Achari Abram Helah, Gil Amelach, as Haman Ben Ambasa Abram. So the three shittas in the Gemara, those who disagree with the Tana, whose opinion we accept, that you have to learn Kula. If you don't have to learn Kula, how much do you have to learn? So the Gemara says that even if you follow those three opinions, or we don't follow, even according to those three views, Sarach should take Tzuba Kula. You require that the entire Megillah should be read, should be written. And then you only have to learn part of it, like in Kriyas HaTorah. This week is Parshas Ki Tisa. You can't learn just from a class that only has Parshas Ki Tisa. You have to have a whole Chumash. A whole Sefer Shmeis or a whole Sefer Torah. And then you make one section of the sefer. You can't just have a parsha, a sedra, a kisi, so on. So to here, you have to have a whole Megillah sefer, and then three tanoim say you don't have to read everything that's written in the Megillah. You only have to read this, that, or the other thing. So the Rishayim are all bothered with the kasha, if nichtav rubo is sufficient, as long as rubo is written is good, even though the rest is all balpeh, so why does the Gemara say that you take suva kula? Even if nothing is written before the pasuk Yishehudi Hoyim B'Shushan Abira, you have more than half written. Or even if nothing is written at all, your Megillah begins with the word Balayla Hu Nadav Shnat HaMelech. You still have Rav of the Megillah Nichta. Or if you have Achar Adva Melegillah HaMelech HaSalat, all the three sheets. Starting from that point on, all the three sheets, you have Rav of the Megillahs after that. Why does the Gemara insist the Rav should take Suva Kul, everything should be written? Even if the beginning would not be written, but the evidence of the Hatchila Vada should be. But the evidence, if it weren't written, you should say that the Megillah is still kasha, because it's Nichtav Rubo. That's a kasha that the Rishonim is. So the Rishonim give two answers on that kasha, both answers are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch Lahalacha L'Chulma. One answer is given that if you're missing an Inyan Sholeim, even though you have Nichtav Rubo, so then the Megillah is passed. So if you're missing everything up until Balal Hud Nashnas Hanach, or everything is missing until Achar Adva Melegillah Melech HaTam, you're missing certainly an Inyan Sholeim, so the Megillah is passed. And the other answer, the Rav and the Rajbog give two answers on this. And the other answer given by the Rishonim is that even if it's not an Inyan Sholeim, if the Tchila or the Sof is missing, so that's a disaster. So then it's not kosher. But if the Tchila and the Sof of the Megillah are there, just in the middle of something missing, so Ad Rubo is good. If Rubo is missing, it's not good. If less than Rubo is missing, it is good. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes one of the Achronim who suggested that just like if the Tchila was Sof, if the beginning or the end is missing, so even though it's Nichtav Rubo, you may not learn from that Megillah because the Tchila is missing, so it's too much is missing. So too, what if the Baal Kori is learning from a Megillah that has every word written in it? But I came into shul a minute late and I missed the brachas and I missed the first pasuk. So if I'm going to recite the brachas on my own, that's fine, but if I'm going to recite the first pasuk Baal Peh, that's also not good. Just like Nichtav Rubo is good only provided that the Tchila of itself is written, so too, you can recite the Miut Baal Peh, but the Tchila of itself has to be recited in the Tzech HaKsav. You can rely on the Kriya Baal Peh for the Miut only if it's in the middle of the Megillah, but not for the Tchila, not for the Sof. And the Mishnah Berurah thinks that that's wrong. He thinks that this limitation of Tchila of itself only applies to the Ksiva. If the Megillah, the text of the Megillah that you're learning from is missing the Tchila of itself, then you cannot learn from that Megillah even though Rove of the text of the Megillah is written. But if the whole Megillah is written, every word is there, just like I walked in late and I'm going to recite the Tchilas and Megillah Baal Peh, so the Mishnah Berurah passes in the Bi'ur Halacha that would be good.
According to the Rishi, thought that you only have to read, selected parts, what they consider the beginning of the Megillah, by Yirmei Ahasuerus, and where they even start.
So you say you don't have to start from the beginning.
Right, I'm saying, but now when you're saying that the guy walks in late, right, so now he missed the first of the beginning.
Right.
They're reading that part extra anyway, so
yeah.
You're not missing the beginning.
He didn't miss anything. According to the others, you don't begin from the beginning. According to the others, you only begin from later.
So according to them, he doesn't have any problem.
No problem, right? But we don't pass them like that.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. We don't pass them like that. That is the problem. The Gemara has a din that the Aseret Bnei Haman have to be written in two columns. The way it's written, the way we have. The Vilna Gaon pointed out that he thought that there was a mistake, the way people write the Megillahs. So it's usually a column in the Megillah, has 20, 30 lines, four columns. And then when it comes to that column of the Aseret Bnei Haman, you only write the Aseret Bnei Haman, that column, you don't write anything else. He says, where is the same thing in Gemara? There's supposed to be a column only, Aseret Bnei Haman. It says that the Aseret Bnei Haman should be written to Ace, Parashan Dos, Ve Yisdalp, Ace of Tot, Ace Paros. You have Ace on one side and Aspot on the other side, the name. And it doesn't say that should take up the whole column. That takes up 11 lines. Aseret Bnei Haman, and another line that says Aseret Salaf Nish, whatever it says is. Those 11 lines should be written in two columns with a big empty space in the middle, and then the rest of the column. You should write the rest of the Megillah. Why should you use up a whole column for Aseret Bnei Haman? That's what the Vilna Gaon taina. Chayei Yodam had another taina. He said that the way we make our Megillah is not following the Vilna Gaon, so they're all puzzled. Why? Because the Gemara says if you put a psucha where it doesn't belong, or a stuma where it doesn't belong, the apostles, the whole sefer, and the apostles, the whole Megillah sefer. So he said if the normal column of the Megillah sefer is 25, 35 lines, And this column, all it has is 11 lines. So what do you do with the extra lines there? So you leave a lot of empty space. So you have one line, then you leave two lines. You have one line, you leave two lines. One line, you leave two lines. Because whenever you leave an empty line, that's considered either a psucha or a stuma. You have to look at every day. When you leave a whole line empty, a whole line blank, what does it represent, a psucha or a stuma? But it represents something that's not supposed to be there. So the Chayyadim says that all of our Megillahs are possible. I'll say that you didn't leave any empty lines. The only time it's considered an empty line is if I have a column and all the lines are one after the other, and then all of a sudden there's an empty line. But here in this one column I have only 11 lines, and in between one line and the other I always leave two lines blank. If I leave four lines blank, in between every line and the other I leave two lines, and in between one line and the other I leave four lines, then it's called I left an empty line blank. But if everything in this column is evenly spaced, from the viewpoint of this column, I didn't leave any blank lines. So the Chayyadim says he thinks that that's not correct. He doesn't think you have the right to judge based on this column alone. You have to judge based on the comparison to the other columns. Since in all the other columns, every line is follows the other line, and you only have a slight space in between. And now in this column, you only have 11 lines of Aseres Bnei Haman. That's the way most of the Megillahs are. And you have big empty spaces in between one line and the other. So compared to the other columns of this Megillah Esther itself, this is called a psucha, where it doesn't belong. So he ties it with all the Megillahs are possible. Unless you'll solve the problem that for some person do, they only want to write 11 lines in one column, and they write big letters. So they write Ace Parshon Dos, everything is big letters. That's also not right. We have a Kabbalah, we have a tradition. Which letters are supposed to be big? The Vav of Vaizos, the Gemara says, the Vav of Vaizos. The Vav is either supposed to be long in writing or supposed to be long in pronouncing. Two different sheets. I don't know exactly how you pronounce a Vav longer. How do you say Vaizos with a long Vav?
By
the yud is long, no? Isn't the yud long? The vav is long.
Anyway,
the I is going to be long. I don't know. The two pshatim in the Shulchan Aruch, but it goes on the vav of Vaizasa written, or it goes on the pronouncing. But you see, you're not supposed to write all the names of Aseres Bnei Haman in large letters. So again, you'll say no. It's not in large letters. This column has a different size letter. Again, the Chayyadim says no. In comparison to the rest of the Megillah, it's supposed to be the same size as the other letters. So that's why some Sofim have introduced the Chumrah in order to satisfy the Vilna Goyen's Taina. And the Chayyadim's Taina, Vilna Goyen says nothing wrong with writing that Aseres Bnei Haman in 11 lines, and then you write the rest of the column. Busted. And the Chayyadim's Taina is that if you don't do like that, and if you leave empty spaces, so then you put a Pesuchah where it doesn't belong. So some Sofim started a new practice that they make a Megillah that has throughout only 11 lines. Every column only has 11 lines. It's going to be one third the size of the normal. A midget Megillah. Normal Megillah has over 30 lines. You can have a Megillah that only has 11 lines, so that when you come to this column of the Aseres Bnei Haman, all it's going to have is the 11 lines of the Aseres Bnei Haman. So that's a Chumrah.
Why did you say that's going to be Pasul? We just got through saying that it's Nifta Rubot, okay.
Nifta Ruba is okay, only provided you didn't put a psucha where it doesn't belong. But if you put a psucha where it doesn't belong, that's a separate psucha. If it wouldn't be written at all, it would be better. Now that it's written, you have a psucha where it doesn't belong. It's possible. That seems to be Gemara.
If the statement doesn't belong, is that possible?
An extra word, a missing word. No, it does not pass. No, so you're saying Baal Peh, you're reading Baal Peh. When you lame, you have to say it properly. And you're lame, Baal Peh. You're not lame, so you have to. On Purim morning, there is a Takonos Chachamim recorded in the Mishnah Megillah that you have to lame Kriyat HaTorah. There is a Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch between, again, the Sfardim against the Ashkenazim. A lot of fighting going on here. Whether for the Kriyat HaTorah Purim in the morning, you have to have 10 psukim or 9 psukim. The Mechaber quotes the Rishonim and he says that's the meaning in Sfarad, that they lean over the last part twice in order to have 10 psukim, because Tashas Vayav HaMalik only has 9 psukim. You have to repeat the last part in order to be mashlim to the minyan of 10. And the Ramah says that we don't. Yes. Dechon Zechas, so you have 4 psukim instead of 3. The Gemara says that it's a Maila, that an Aliyah should have 4 psukim instead of 3 is preferable. So here, the Mechaber says you have to lay in all the last pasuk, so it has you have 10 psukim instead of 9. And then Ramah says we don't pass like that. We pass like the Tosis and Megillah. That since it's Shalom and Yonah, since the theme of Vayav HaMalek is completed in the 9 psukim, so you're yotzei with 9 psukim. The Magen Avraham writes a chiddush that whoever missed Parsha Zohar on Shabbos Zohar should come to shul on Purim morning and have a mind to be yotzei. The Balkori has to have a mind to be motzi him, and he should have a mind to be yotzei This Zechir is Amalek when you lay the parasha on Purim morning of Vayor Vayamol. The Mishnah Berurah has a taina against the Magen Avraham. He doesn't think that it's correct. He thinks that you're only yotze the mitzvah of Parshas Zochar if you read the parasha in Kiseitze, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us what our job is, what we're supposed to do. Zochar es Shor Lach Amalek, and then it says Timche Zechar Amalek. Remember the story so that you should take action. But in Parshas B'Shalach it says just tells the story and it tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take action. It doesn't command us to take any action. And the Mishnah Berurah has a taina, he thinks that you're not yotze. If you lay Parshas Vayavah Amalek, he taina that you're not yotze. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in the beginning of Hilchas Pesach that it says Shloshim Yom Kodem Pesach, Shalom Doshim Hilchas Pesach. You have to start learning Hilchas Pesach a month before Pesach. Of course, if it's only going, you have to start learning Hilchas Pesach on Purim, that's 30 days before Pesach. In fact, even if you're not going to learn Hilchas Pesach, it's a special Indian to learn Torah on Purim. People think that Purim is like the Jewish Halloween or something, that everybody dresses up and they make merry and they wait for a lot of time, no one learns. The Gemara says that Purim is supposed to be the day on which we celebrate the Kabbalah HaTorah, that Bnei Yisrael accepted the Torah for the second time. But to keep moving, Me'ah HaShver, just like in Shavuot, we celebrate the Kabbalah HaTorah the first time, so on Purim we celebrate the second Kabbalah HaTorah. On the occasion of the Kabbalah HaTorah, we should learn a little bit, whatever. Torah Shedechzav, Torah Shemalpeh, whatever a person enjoys learning, he should learn. Shir, did it be Shir? No, it says that there's no Shir. Because the Maril didn't give Shir on Purim. On Chinese Esther, he did give Shir. In Europe, used to call it Esther Tonics. In Yiddish, used to call it Esther Tonics. In America, we all call it Chinese Esther. Which is more correct? I don't know. Chinese Esther? But in Quebec, it's true, isn't everybody? All call it Esther Tonics. It's in Yiddish. Of course, there's another mitzvah on Purim everybody knows about, the Sudah. It says in the Megillas Esther. Lasasas remain Mishta the Simcha. The Gemara says, if you have the Sudah's Purim, Balaila, you're not yotze yidechai rosa. It's not mishanim hal that it means you're not yotze, that's not sufficient. You have to have a suda balaylo bayom, just like in every yontif. You have to have a suda balaylo and a suda bayom. Other mishanim hal, no, there's nothing. There's only a chiv suda bayom, there's no chiv suda balaylo. So because of this dispute, the Shulchan Aruch recommends that you should have a suda balaylo and a suda bayom. You should have two sudas. What exactly should the suda consist of? Wheaties, Cheerios, you have breakfast and that's the suda. But the Rambam says, no, the suda has to be both of a yayin. How much yayin? The Gemara says, Adalayada benar homo barach motcha. You have to have a lot of yayin until you get drunk. If you drink, many Yachronim say, if you drink schnapps and beer and other things, you're not yotze the din of Adalayada. And the din of Adalayada, the Biskarov used to point out, based on this Rambam, the din of Adalayada doesn't apply by Laila. The din of Adalayada is only bayom in the middle of the Suda. The Ikas to this Purim is bayom. The real mitzvah is bayom, by Laila. We really pass on it. There's no chi in Suda. Achmer, to be yotze that sheep in. The suda is only bayom, like Shalach Monos Matzah Tavion is only bayom. So the suda bayom, the Rosh Hashulchan says you have to have pot, you have to wash and have bread. Rama says you have to have boso, you have to have yain, you have to have yain adol oyod. It's not if a person gets drunk, not in the middle of the meal. So the Rambam says that it's not going to the meal. The suda has to be eaten dafke bayom. It's preferable that the person should finish the suda bayom and bench Birchas Hamazon and say Al Anisim bayom. So there is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Birchas Hamazon. If a person started to eat the meal on Purim and he finished eating on Matzah Purim, does he recite Al Anisim or not? So we pask him that he does recite Al Anisim, but it's preferable to avoid the whole machlekes. It's preferable to bench before Shki on Purim and to recite Al Anisim. If a person didn't bench, he's also yotzei, provided the Rambam says not just that he washed and he said Amosi and he gobbled down a slice of bread before the Shki. Provided the Rambam says that he had the main part of the meal, Mevod Yom. That he had the meat, not just the entree. He had the fruit cake, the fruit cup, the bodyon. It means that he had the meat, the boss of the yain, he had the bodyon, and then the dessert, and he sits and he has his tea on after Shki, after Tefer Tachon. But if he eats the meat, the whole meal after Purim is over, so then he's not yet. The Iker Suda has to be bayon. Magen Avraham quotes the Machloike Sachrein, and what if a person benches after the Suda is Purim on Purim, and if you got to say Al Anisim, is a yet to be yes. That's a machlekes. Some hold that since you have to have pas and you have to bench, so if you didn't say Al Anisim, you have to bench over, just like on Shabbos and Yontif. If the person forgot to say Yalav Yovet, so he has to bench over. We pass him that you don't have to walk here. We pass him that Sofi Brachas Lachol. Since it's a machlekes achrayim, whether Al Anisim is ma'akev in benching on Sudas Purim, so we pass him that you wouldn't have to bench over. There is a din upon you have to give mishloach manas ishla v'yehu, and we pass the mishloach, there's a machlekes, we pass the mishloach, but it has to be food. If you give money, or you give sparim, or you give a bicycle, or you give a baseball bat or something, that you're not yoytzi mishloach manas. That's the manas that are roi l'achilo. The Magen Avraham, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham told the Merovi Rachmanim, they say that the idea of mishloach manas is, I should give you part of my tzuda. Not some, I give you candy bars and lollipops and jelly beans and all kinds of things. That's not part of the suda. People don't even give that for dessert. If you give something, that's part of the suda. To have someone else, really, the best shalach manas is to have somebody eat by you. So then that's the shalach manas. I invited someone else to eat at my table who usually doesn't eat by me. And even if I don't invite a manas, if I send the food to his house, that's also a fulfillment of the shalach manas. Why? So the nice way to give is to give basa v'yayin, yeah. Or if you don't want to give basa v'yayin, so you give a piece of cake, you give a piece of challah, you give something that one would eat for a meal, you give dessert, but it's to eat. To give a chocolate bar, chocolate bars people don't eat in the middle of the meal, even when they're eating luchik, they don't eat chocolate bars. Chocolate bars is something separate. So you can't say that that's one of the courses of the meal. So it doesn't work. Okay. But food, people eat food. They need it. Beginning of the meal, the end of the meal. Food have a shaitas with the meal.
Also, if you invite two people to suda, then you're totally on the kind of shlach
manas. Shlach manas, you only have to give to one person. Invite one person.
So you need
the same thing, it's just then. Yeah, the pashtas is. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Chumrah from the Binyan Tzion that the shlach manas has to be dafka yidei shliach. That if you give in person, he wants to say that you're not yoytzi. The pashtus in the Gemara is not so. The Gemara seems to imply that if you give in person, you're also yoytzi. The Gemara doesn't talk about giving ayidei shliach. The Gemara talks about the people giving the shalach manas in person.
If you give giving money to it, then you can see that the person has to eat the shalach manas on
himself. No. As long as I gave it to him. In fact, the Rambam even has a greater chiddush. If I send shalach manas to somebody and he refuses to accept it, so I'm yoytzi, because the mitzvah shalach manas is the attempt to give the shalach manas. That's why l'chor it's not right. Let's say some people have a very fancy practice that on Leil Purim, after the Kriyas HaMegillah, they see somebody and they give them an elaborate shalach manas, but they know that they're not yoytzi the shalach manas by Laila. You only yoytzi the Sudas Purim by Yom, so therefore you only yoytzi the shalach manas by Yom. But they give it to the person and tell them, I don't want you to be kain until tomorrow morning, after Mikra Megillah. You should be kain this shalach manas tomorrow at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And therefore, since the person is kain in the daytime, so they consider that they're being yoytzi shalach manas bayom. So the question is whether that's right or not. It's highly questionable. According to the Ramah, the yoytzi shalach manas even if the other fellow is not kainis, by my attempt to give him the shalach manas on the yoytzi. So here my attempt was done by Leil Purim. So if the attempt is done at the wrong time, you're not yoytzi. That should be a question about matanas levyayim also. If many people have the practice that you give money a week before Purim, the someone is going to deliver the money on Purim. So the question is, but my giving, my act of graciousness, my act of kindness was done a week before Purim. Am I yoytzi with that? At least over there you can say yes, because they didn't give it to the poor man yet. Their act of giving, I'm giving money to appoint a shliach that somebody should do the act of graciousness on Purim. They should give it to the Yanim on Purim. At least over there you can say it's okay. But if I give it directly to the Yoni and I tell him don't be kind until Purim, or I give shalach manas today to the other person, I tell him don't be kind until Purim, it could well be that you're not yet. On Purim there is a mitzvah matanas l'yonim, because you have to give it at least to two different aniyim. Shalach manas you only have to give to one person. Matanas l'yonim you have to give to two different people. There are two reasons for matanas l'yonim on Purim. One reason is the simple reason. That on every yontif there is a mitzvah tzedakah. The Rambam writes that simchas yontif shouldn't be a simchas akeres. Rambam writes in the Hilchas Yontif that when a person eats and drinks and is merry, that's simchas akeres, that his belly is happy. But that's not real simchas hanefesh. Simchas hanefesh is to share. Those who have should share with the poor and those who are less fortunate than they are, and be mesameach others. So that's good to say that. That's why it's an inyan that the chassan should get an aliyah. During Shiris Me'amish, it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's a chiyuv. Why? Because it's a chiyuv simcha. And what better way to be mesameach others is there than to tell them a dvar Torah? When you get the aliyah, it's considered as if you're melamed Torah to the others. So whenever there's a chiyuv simcha, there's a chiyuv to be mesameach others. Not just that I should rejoice and I should be sameach, I should be mesameach others. I'm mesameach others by giving tzedakah to the poor, by teaching Torah to the other people. Tam Purim is also a chiyuv simcha. Gemara says the Megillah says you may miss the simcha. In fact, there's even a machlekes shayla and shulchan aruch whether one observes avelas on Purim. Maybe he has a din of simcha like on Yom Tov, and it cancels avelas, or at least if you don't observe avelas on Purim, big shayla and halach. But then on Purim, there's an additional special reason why you have to give matanos levyayin and why you have to give mishloach manos. Because it says in the Megillah that that Haman was mekatrik on the Klal Yisrael, that he said yesh na'am echad nufuzam nufuzam bin lamin. The Jewish people don't have any yachdus. Apparently at that time it was tough. So in order to be misak in this kitra gang, and that's why he had the ability to begin to make a gzeir against the Jewish people. So in order to be misak in this kitra that Haman was murder against us, we should be misak in it by being marbe reyus, by having people over, shalach manas, matanis levyayim, to create a little lachdus. No? That's what the Jewish people is always missing, and that's what we always need. Some poskim say, based on the poskim, it says, Mishloach manas ish l'reyehu, that you're not yet to give shalach manas to your Rebbe, only to give to a normal person. Why? I thought that the pshat, and look there is a kosher. Yigav shari ish shari yehu. So, the Talmud, the Hamer, kills the Rebbe, then doesn't have to say, Reyehu, or Shal Rabbi. How can it be? So I thought maybe the pshat is simple. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Chaya Yodam, that if a wealthy man is sending shalach manas to someone else, and he gives some cheap candy bar or something, then he says he not yet to shalach manas, because the wealthy man would never serve that in his meal. He would give it to the chashuvah. So whoever the person is giving the shalach manas has to give a mana yofa of the kovadik piece of food that he would normally serve in his meal. So I thought maybe the same applies over here. The one who's giving shalach manas to somebody else is considered as if he's having that person participate in his sudas purim. That's how the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, quotes from the early Achronim. Mishloach manas means to have someone else be mishtatef in your suda. So sometimes the Rebbe invites the Talmud to eat by him. Does the Talmud ever invite the Rebbe to eat by him? If the Talmud eats in the cafeteria, the Talmud is a single guy eats in the cafeteria, what's right that the Rebbe is going to eat by him? That doesn't make any sense, that the Talmud should give shalach manas to the Rebbe, and it's considered as if the Rebbe is eating part of his suda's purim. The Mishnah Balapos, what do you mean? Or even if the Talmud is married and he has his own family and so on, does the Rebbe ever visit the Talmud? If the situation is such that the Rebbe sometimes visits the Talmud to eat by him, so then it makes sense. Talmud sends shalach manas to the Rebbe. Consider as if the Rebbe is participating in his Suda Purim. But if the situation is such that it's only a one-way street, that the Rebbe sometimes has the Talmud to eat by him, but the Talmud would never have the Rebbe eat by him, so then it doesn't make sense to send shalach manas to the Rebbe.
Would the Talmud ever have anybody? That can happen.
Right.
That means he's departed from the Shalom.
No. But then the Gemara said, they give the Shalom to a friend of his. Okay. Rabbi Simon, I give you this one.